back on Afternoon Drive. We got Albert Breer coming up at 5:20. More on the way. Some reaction on the RBF in just a moment here, but Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. I don't think I can read that yet. I'll get to that later. Start your game day with Earl the Pearl from 7 to 9 a.m. The Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with JP and Spencer German starting at 9 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Darrell Ryder joins us with the latest from the stadium as well. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns, 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. So you and I were talking about RBF and the fact you just realized you had it.
Yeah, resting bee face.
Bob said, I never smile. I didn't know there was a name for it. I just always thought I was an a-hole. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I will say that is one way to describe it, although your and my personalities then kind of offset it because we're like lovable ones.
I don't think we're jerks. I just didn't know. I didn't know that was the impression.
I can be. I can be cruel and I can be kind of petty and kind of mean sometimes.
I think you have a good heart and people know that though.
Yeah, but I, especially in a professional sense, like sometimes we talked about this before the show today. Sometimes I'm downright mean to other people. Like I sometimes take shots I shouldn't at the morning show. I know that. I'm working on it. I'm just not a finished product.
Are you working on it?
Yeah, I'm working at getting better at taking those shots.
I was going to say, making the ones that you take really count.
I didn't want to try to high road anybody.
I didn't think you were trying to limit yourself on it, but I didn't know what direction you were going.
I'm trying to take the restraints off me. No.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I like my family.
Some birds can't be caged, Nick.
It's like, what's wild about this is, if you asked anybody outside of here, I'm not the smiley one. Like, I'm just not.
Yeah, I never thought I walked around looking like legitimately the Walmart smiley face logo. Like, I never thought that was me. But I didn't know it was that.
But in my family, I am on my mom's side, I am the smiley one. Because they're a bunch of Eastern European Jags.
Okay.
Like, no one smiles. Maybe my cousin Glenna smiles.
Is this a heritage thing? Can I trace this back to a heritage thing for myself?
I think so. Well, what's your heritage?
Croatian is the biggest thing I am.
I'll give it to you.
I'm also Irish. That doesn't fit.
I'm also a little Irish as well. So
okay.
That, you know, maybe there's a little bit of that. I think Irish people are supposed to be smiley though, right?
No idea.
Stereotype? I don't know. That's neither here nor there.
Tipsy maybe.
But that I am.
That makes people happy.
Yeah. Got to drink a lot, but I will get there. I think you and I got into a show pre-show, speaking of pre-show conversations, about the Browns. And I think this is a big thing after yesterday's win. Because one of the reasons why I was so steadfast, until proven otherwise, it's one game, is whether you want it to or not, I don't think yesterday, well, I guess now, 2 days ago, I don't think Sunday is going to stop the Browns if there's a fire sale to be had of having that fire sale.
I don't know if I agree.
Show your work. Is that a thing?
I thought a lot about this, and I was thinking a lot about like GMs and what you're actually being a GM for and all the leashes that you think you have and all this, the long leash you think you have and everything attached to it, right? I don't know. If I'm the Browns, from the GM down to the head coach down to everyone in between, I think you got to get as many wins as you possibly can. I think you're in self-preservation mode. I think you're trying to show to everyone that you can get the wins. I think a four-win season, you are jeopardizing the idea that you'll even have a job. And so why are they going to get the house in order for somebody else than to be in a good spot? I don't think they're going to look at it that way.
I think you're putting Stefanski and Barry in the same bucket. They're not. Kevin's job.
Oh, I look at them like they're in the same bucket. I think that's a fair assessment of what I'm saying.
I think Kevin knows he's got to get to 7 wins. If you go from 1-6 to 7-10, that's enough winning to look at Haslam and say, see, it was all Deshaun, good feelings back, bad feelings gone. That's not how GMs are graded. GMs are graded in the ability to take a definitive stance ahead of the trade deadline.
Yeah, but in the process, a lot of his players end up looking better if they start winning games.
Yeah, but you're not trading those
Cedric
guys.
Tillman, for instance, starts looking better. What we judge these guys on does matter.
You know, yes, but you're not trading those guys. Those guys were never who we're going to trade. But if you can say, well, Cedric Tillman looked better, and, oh, by the way, Za'Darius Smith got us a third-round pick, that's what GMs are graded
on. Now, I think this is a different situation, too, though, because you got to look at the idea, and then Deshaun Watson makes this a one-of-one scenario, but you got to be able to tell Jimmy Haslam. That's really all you're speaking to. You're not speaking to me or you or anyone in between. You're speaking to Jimmy Haslam. At the end of it, Stefanski and Barry have the same cell. Was it all Deshaun Watson's problem? Did we do our job well enough that absent of Deshaun Watson, we could have won. If you gave us a different quarterback, not named Deshaun, we could have won. I did a good enough job, all the pieces, offense, defense, special teams, everything in between. And that's why I think you got to win games.
See, but that's the only thing. Well, okay, I guess the offense is another thing that Kevin can sell, even though he's no longer the play caller. He can say, look, we fixed it without Deshaun. Andrew has a card to play. GMs play this all the time. Yep, we realized it was a lost season, and we traded Za'Darius and every other one-year player or guy with 1.5 years left like Greg Newsome, and look at the 5 draft picks I got that now go into the war chest for this year to help reset this thing.
I think he'd be getting the house in order for somebody else to take over the house.
I think Andrew's super smart to know that Kevin's in far more danger than he is. And I hate having this because they just won, so I hate pointing this out. GMs usually get 2 or 3 head coaches.
I just think we're looking at this in a different way. I think you're looking at it like the head coach is going to be treated different than the GM. I look at it like I think it's an all or nothing thing. I really do. I think either they both go or they're both here. I don't see them being separated.
I think Jimmy. Okay, I'm now acting like I know what Jimmy's thinking or that Jimmy
learned
anything.
That's what makes this tough. Is that we're all just speaking to a guy that historically goes pretty unhinged when it comes to his decision making.
But like, if you are Andrew Berry, the best thing for Andrew Berry, I think if Jimmy's learned anything, it is trying to find the GM and the head coach at the same time is a nightmare. It really is. And that sometimes the way teams are operating now, even impetuous owners are going, all right, I like the GM. I talk to the GM more. I'm going to give that guy multiple head coaches. Head coaches really don't have that.
Yeah, having the same timeline is nice, too. It's like when Andy Reid and John Dorsey got hired together in Kansas City. They were hired within 3 weeks of each other.
And then John Dorsey blew himself up, and Andy Reid had proved
after
himself
indispensable. After drafting Patrick Mahomes, Kareem Hunt, and Travis Kelce, he did a good job.
Yeah, but that's not why he got fired. Like, there were things that
couldn't do. But they liked the same timeline thing. And I thought it was working until Dorsey went full Dorsey, which is what he does.
But I think that's
did the same thing here.
I think that's the point. If you have one part of the equation you feel better about. But what's wild about this is winning is what's best for Kevin. Andrew probably is looking at this and going, well, winning's great, and we're going to keep the locker room if we keep winning. But man, I got to tell you, the farther we get away from a top 5 pick, the harder it is for me to keep my job long term.
I think he's got to look at it like self-preservation. I think he's got to look at it like, I need as many wins as I possibly can. I think the team as a whole needs to look as good as they possibly can. And I think then you pick up the pieces where they end up falling at the end of the season. If that means you're drafting 17th because you won a bunch of games, you'll worry about that when you get there. You just got to win enough games.
Yeah, but I think self-preservation for a GM is different than a head coach. Like, you... Everything in every job is about what you can sell and what you can't, right? I've got to be able to sell them that I can get ratings. You've got to be able to sell them at nights. Hey, look at what I've built. Look at what I continue to build.
Yeah.
Right? But you and I are selling different things because our time slots are just a little different, right? Well, that's kind of with Kevin.
Well, but the way you're phrasing it, though, makes it seem like they would have already made up their mind on Andrew Berry, and there's nothing that Andrew Berry can prove or disprove now.
Well, no. I think it's just Andrew's more of a sure thing. I think it's more Kevin has to prove more.
Barry's a sure thing?
Yeah, I don't think they feel the way about Andrew the way that I think fans feel about Andrew.
I don't know that they look at him as a sure thing.
I think you might like him.
No, I don't know that they look at him that way.
No, I view Andrew and Kevin in the same bucket of there's some good, there's some bad. I could take or leave either one of them at any given moment. Like, you could, at any given point, you can sell me who should stay and who should go, and it might be different depending on how you sell it.
Okay.
That's where I am with both of them. But I'm thinking about how the NFL operates, how this has changed. It's kind of the same in baseball, too, where, like guys running bad teams get, like, 3 managers now. Whether they deserve it or not, because owners realize the most dangerous change you can have with the power that front offices have now is to change that. Because when you're changing theories about drafting and team building and all that, there's a lot of risk involved versus changing out the head coach, which is completely switched of how it felt 25 years ago.
I just think I wouldn't look at every GM as the same. And so I think, for instance, Antonetti and Chernoff are in a much different spot than a lot of baseball managers out there. They've been there for 20 years. They're going to be there for another 20 years. Like, they can make the type of moves. They could trade for a ball of yarn at the deadline and no one's going to question anything about it and say, okay, yeah, if that's what they want to win a couple years from now, then that's what they need to do. Whereas I just don't look at it the same way with Andrew Berry. I think the moves he'd be making today, if they go ahead and decide to sell everything everything and trade everything and then tank and go for the draft pick, I don't know that he's going to be able to see those through as being his draft picks then moving forward.
Neither he nor Kevin will ever frame doing anything but trying to winning as tanking. There's a wide gap between trying to win and winning being the first and foremost thing that matters and tanking. There are levels to this. So I don't think you're ever going to hear them ever say or even allude to anybody, we're tanking the rest of the way, right? Like if that's what happens, I don't think it will, but if that's what happens, that is going to be like nuclear codes. Like that is going to be on the down low,
right.
The down lowest of lows.
Right. They're not saying it. We're talking about it.
But you asked in the pre-show, who in that building is playing for next year? You're right to say it's not Kevin. But if Andrew Berry is being really honest, it's a lot easier to sell Andrew Berry as the end-all be-all if I got five draft picks for guys on this roster, and if they lose just enough to get a top five pick, so then I can say, either I have a top five pick, let's go get a veteran quarterback to really blow this thing up like a Matt Stafford, or, hey, there's a quarterback here, guys, we're a quarterback away. I think, look at the core. Look at Cedric Tillman. Look at Miles. Look at
Cedric Tillman was the thing you couldn't say 2 weeks ago.
Well, yeah, but that's what the next nine games about.
Well, but that's why winning is in part of that. That's making those guys look as good as they possibly can.
Being competitive is good for Andrew Berry, but winning is not. Whereas winning and being competitive,
he spent more money than any other team in football in the previous 2 years. Like I understand that. Listen, Haslam's not an idiot. Haslam knows the same things we know when it comes to how important the quarterback was towards the success or not success. But I think you got to show some people some things.
But you can just flush it now. Hey,
I don't think Andrew Berry is going to be able to do that.
I think they've done it for 5 or 7 years now. Like, think of the money.
I'm trying to come up with the argument if I'm Andrew Berry. Like, at the end of the season, the argument I would make is how I haven't had many first-round picks. Like, you can criticize the drafting, but I haven't had many first-round picks. And I'm trying to untangle it from there. If it was me trying to make the big speech, and I just think there's still too much that is left to be written there.
The argument is doing what these guys have done with everybody else. Ah, Baker ain't it. We love Baker. Great guy. Not a $50 million quarterback. Baker ain't it. Ah, if Joe Woods, if we just had a different defensive coordinator, our defense would have been better.
I think it's
never
interesting.
Never mind Jordan Elliott was a bust. Yeah. Never mind any of these other guys were a bust. That's what they're going to do. If they lose, that's what they're going to do, because that's how you survive in the NFL.
Right, but I don't think they're going to survive that. I think it's the pitch. It's the sales pitch. I don't think they survive that.
And I think how Andrew survives it, I really want to, because this is a very...
You win three games, and I don't think you survive it.
Yeah, I don't think both survive it. And I think it becomes survival of the fittest, and the fittest guy is the guy who they brought back. Yes, they might have hired Kevin in 2015 or 2019 when they hired Freddie Joe Kitchens. But
his middle name?
I'm just making fun of him for being a fat.
I mean, I know his middle name. Baker Reagan Mayfield. Thomas Edward
Joe
Patrick
just
Brady.
He felt like he should have a Joe in the middle of his name because he's okay. A bit of a rube. But they you liked Kevin Stefanski in 2019. Andrew was part of this front office. He left because of John Dorsey, and you specifically brought him back. He was crucial in the way this thing went together. I think he is safer, and I think his path forward is, hey, this is what I did this season when it all went to pot, and here's how I've set you up for next year, and here's what I'm going to do with it.
I look at him in the same boat. It's interesting that we have a divide here in this, because I look at him in the same boat. It's 5 years, one playoff win.
216-474-0092. I would be surprised if Jimmy looked at them the same way. I bet you Jimmy has a favorite. It's like kids. I bet you Jimmy has a favorite. Should the Browns continue trying to win? Jim and Josh, you guys stick there. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.